Well, I have a message this morning. The Holy Spirit gave me something to minister this morning and put something on my heart. And so I want to go along with that, what we're in talking about. Because at the time of the year that we're in, when we look at Christmas and Christmas coming down, you know, and dealing with the birth of Christ, the fact that the Messiah did come, God sent his Messiah, God did come in the flesh. Hallelujah. It's an important part of our Christianity. And because if he didn't, then the rest of the story, all that stuff's a lie. If it didn't happen like they said, we celebrate the virgin birth. Much of Christianity today, and even many among denominations and things, of people that even used to believe in it, many of them don't believe in the virgin birth anymore. They don't think it. And you need to understand this. You ain't going to be seeing these people in heaven. You can't believe. You know, people say, well, they believe in Jesus. Well, if you don't believe in the virgin birth, you can't believe according to the Bible. Nobody's going to be going to heaven that don't accept the Jesus of the Bible. We need to understand this thing. There's loads and loads and loads of people out here claim Christianity. They are not. They don't believe on that. They have not received the Jesus of the Bible. They received Jesus, a manufactured one, a religious one that has been made to meet the qualifications of the world system. That's the one that they've accepted. If people don't believe these things, you know, you have to believe in who Jesus is. We're going to receive him, but the stories about him is a lie. Well, hold, you can't throw it out. You can't throw these things out. They're the truth. The truth is what makes you free, not what you generate. And in America, we have a generated Christianity that has been accepted and by most of Christianity. I mean, I even hear ministers who say, yeah, I got to be born again. But I know these people, they believe all this stuff wrong. But God knows them and loves them. That don't put you in heaven. God loved everybody. Folks, hell's full of people. Hell's full of people, and God loved every one of them. We need to get these crazy thoughts out of our mind. Come back over to God, the Bible, because it's the only place that you will find true hope. And it's the only thing that will sustain you. When Jesus made the statement, and I've said many times, Jesus said that in the end times, men's hearts would fail them for fear of the things coming on the earth. The only thing that's going to keep you alive is going to be believing the truth. Jesus Christ told Kenneth E. Hagin in September 1950, he said, many of my people are not going to be ready for my return. Many. He didn't say some. He said many aren't going to be ready. Much of Christianity is not ready today. Much of Christianity, you know, the Bible says, don't forsake the assembly yourself together. People don't, you know, it just, people don't care anymore. We have our own Christianity, our own beliefs, our own thinkings on stuff. We have our own stuff. This is the way it is, and we think it's okay. But it's like talking about, well, I believe Jesus is coming back. Well, I'm sorry. You can believe something and say that it's true but not have any revelation on it. Just because you know something the Bible said don't mean you know what the Bible said. You might believe, say, oh, it's in there, it's written down. But having a revelation, anything that's a revelation, you'll live. If it's a revelation and you don't live it, you're going to live guilty. If you know in your heart something's true and you don't live it, you're in trouble. Because you're going to walk around feeling guilt and your faith won't work. And we're planning for a future. We're closing out, you know, at the end of December comes and we're closing out on a year. And whether we realize it or not, you know, God doesn't operate in time, but we do. And he operates with us in time. He operates with us in time. So even though he's timeless, he still operates with us in time. You know, he went and told Abraham back in the beginning. He said, you know, your offspring are going to end up going down there to Egypt. They're going to spend 400 years down there. You know, he didn't say, well, they're going to go down there an infinite amount of time and whatever and that stuff. He dealt with man. He deals with man according to the time that we live in here. And really, we need from years. We need to understand that years are very important things that God. You know, God established the calendar for Israel. God did. It wasn't man's idea. God established it. He laid out time for man. Hallelujah. And there was one thing about it. You better understand today the time that you live in. Because this is, I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen shortly in the future. And it's getting closer. Some have already entered into it. It's in 1950, in September, the vision that Kenneth Hagin had. God told him that America was having its last call and some nations have already had their last call. I want you to understand this. We're coming down the future. God's compelling and talking to Christians to get their life straight, but there's some we're going to run out of time. They're not going to get their life straight. You're running. I'm going to tell you what. Don't wait. till the little looking out like you got time. Well, you know, nobody knows when Jesus is coming. I don't know the exact date, but I'm going to tell you what. You better get your act together. There's things Ed does know. And I'm just telling you, because you're going to run out of time of getting things straight. You need to warn people around you that are playing Christian games. And tell them they need to get their act together because it won't be time to get straight shortly. We're going to find people are going to be in and some are going to be out. And God ain't going to talk to them again about stuff. Because he's talked and he's talked and he's talked and he's talked. People ain't answering. It's one thing, another thing for the heathen. But it's one for God's people who know time is running out. It's just like he said, America had, this thing, 1950, he said, there's nations that will not have another call. 1950. There's nations that won't have another call. He said that in 1950. Well, I don't know about you. Those things concern me. When I read them, those things are like, they concern me. I can't think about tomorrow in the same way. And I tell you what, I'm concerned for many Christians. I'm concerned for many people who say they're born again. I'm concerned for them because they're not living and walking in the light of what we got. Hallelujah. You know? And we need to do it. Hallelujah. All that was free. Glory to God. But God's speaking. The Holy Ghost is moving. And I tell you what, we need to understand. We can either live in these last days in a blessed time or a cursed time. As many Christians are going to live in a cursed time in these last days. They're going to live under the curse. No matter if you're Christian, you got to walk in the light. Can't not walk in light. And I mean, that's just the way it is. And they need to know. We need to walk in the light. Hallelujah. If you walk in the light, sees in light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You can't walk in darkness and the blood of Jesus working. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to share some things the Holy Ghost gave me concerning things, is because if we understand God's plan and what God did from the time of sending Jesus and all that God planned, if we go to the book of Genesis, we'll read some things, but what we want to look at is the fact is, you know, God has meticulously set things in time and the things that God did. And then the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, and in verse 10, and I didn't come up with this idea to minister into these things. God told me to. So this is the Christmas message this morning. And in Hebrews, it says in chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands." So it says, in the beginning, he laid the foundations of the earth. So what we call the foundations of the earth. We realize that we get into our creation. You know, in our creation that we read in the book of Genesis, we don't have the foundation of the earth being laid. The book of Genesis. People say, well, God created. The Bible starts off and says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he said, the earth was without form and void. When God started, we don't have a time when God, we don't know exactly when God created the earth itself as this planet sitting here. His creation that he put that we live in today was put on a foundation that had already been here. It already was here. We don't have the day when God created the planet earth. You can't read it in the scriptures. It don't say anything. When did he speak that into existence? When did that happen? Well, I don't know. He didn't tell me exactly. There's things I do know about it that I got from Revelation. There's things that I have seen in the Spirit about these things. We're not going into any of that today. But God laid the foundation. Peter wrote in 1 Peter, in the first chapter, Peter, in verse 20, made this statement. He said, he indeed was foreordained. Now, speaking of Christ, he's speaking about Jesus. Now, remember, the foundation of the earth, when that foundation was laid, we don't know when that happened. But, now listen, Peter makes this statement, and he says concerning Christ, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last days for you. Jesus was foreordained to be sent before the earth's foundation was laid. You see, one of the things that we must do and we need to understand, there's things that we need to grab a hold and grasp in our hearts as believers concerning God and what God's plan and what God did. God's plan for humanity wasn't something established after man's sin. We sort of get these ideas that, like, you know, this problem came up or this happened and then God came up with this solution. We need to know every solution that has ever been made by God was made before the foundation of the earth. God didn't look down and see your need today, and then what He's going to do is, now I want to give you a way to fix this. See, most people think, and really, this is why most people have a hard time in their faith toward God, because they think God's like men. Then when a problem comes up, then you think about a way of how to try to fix it. God never does that. God never does that. God's not a man. God is eternal. He knows everything. Before the foundation of the earth, He knew the day, this day, right here today, that we were going to be here. He didn't have to come up with a message for me that He didn't know about beforehand. He told me something that He knew He was going to tell me before the foundation of the world. That's my God. That's not the God of most of the church world today. Of most Christians, most Spirit-filled Christians, that's not their God. Their God is like a man. Is he's going along, Adam sinned, and he said, oh man, I got to fix this thing. No, we found out God was going to send Jesus. It could be eons before the creation of man and the fall of Adam. He had already planned the time that Jesus would come and be revealed in the earth. Man, I tell you what, I like this kind of God. See, if you understand this time type of God, you will have faith for your future. As I've talked before about the teachings on the areas of faith, faith is all about the future. Most people have problems in the areas of faith because they're always operating and looking, this is my problem now, they're focused on the problem. Faith is about changing tomorrow. Hallelujah. And God already has the plan for the change of tomorrow. He's already laid it out on what, and He knows. Now, isn't it amazing? He knows the decision I'm going to make, whether it was good or bad, whatever it was. He knows. He's not sitting around here, well, I wonder what Ed's going to do about this. He's never thinking, He could come and tell me and sit and tell me everything I would ever do. He could do that. Now, I live down here, and I make my decision, but He knows. He's God. Now, see, some people think that there's weird, that's strange, that ain't right, that ain't fair. I love the idea that we have a God that is, we aren't sitting around second-guessing. He's not trying to figure something else out. He's not trying to do something else. Hallelujah. Because when you think in that manner, you cannot really believe the word's true. You can't. See, when the Bible says God changes not, that didn't start when He wrote the Bible. God changes not. That's the way He is forever. Now, I want you to this unchangeable God. He had planned to send Jesus into the earth before the foundation of the world. This wasn't a hit and miss thing. This wasn't something that God just had to throw out there and say, well, this we're going to try to fix this problem with man. And that's why when people talk about grace, if you listen over in the teachings I did a couple weeks ago, teaching on the areas of mountain moving faith, I made this statement about the areas of grace. I do not believe grace like most preachers preach it. I don't believe it like they do. They teach grace is unmerited favor. I do not believe that. That is man's definition. If you study grace in the Bible, it is not and never has been, you know, God giving you something you didn't deserve. God believed man deserved redemption. He wasn't being nice to a bunch of scumbags. And this is what we do. You know, they always use a term and they say, well, you know, they used to use grace and they'll say things like, well, see, an insurance company will give you a grace period to pay your, you know, insurance. And they said, you know, they don't have to do it. They just don't do it. Insurance companies do that for their benefit, not just yours. I want to tell you something. God saved you for His benefit too. He wanted you. It wasn't about you being a scumbag and hauling you off somewhere and I'll take you to heaven anyhow, I'll put up with you for eternity. We've made grace into this sloppy. That's why people carry it over to that weird thing over there. We're so evil, we're so bad. God saved us by grace, you know. And that's, so you live like hell and he won't pay no attention to it, take you to heaven anyhow. Because He takes all dummies there. You see, that's the grace. That isn't our grace. My grace is like Mike said this morning, used Charles Capp's definition. Grace is God's ability that works on my behalf. That's what it is. The majority of the time when grace is referred to in the New Testament, that's what it's talking about. Not this stupid definition that men have thrown out there and built and turned grace into something almost we're like, God's putting up with Ed today. That's not what it is. Sometimes I think about, boy, he is putting up with me. He don't view us like that. He doesn't view us in that manner. Hallelujah. God had a plan. It was before the foundation of the world. God established a system. God planned on redeeming you. He saw your future. He saw you on your way to hell. He knew you were lost. I'm buying them, folk. I want them. He looked into the earth and all humanity and said, I want them. All of them, and I want them. It wasn't a grace of like, oh yeah, I'm going to save you in spite of yourself, you old ugly thing. Hallelujah. God said, I'm going to give these people my ability. Hallelujah. I'm going to give them something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what it was about sending Jesus into the earth. Jesus coming into the earth was about God's plan before the foundation of the earth world. All that he did, think about this. This plan was made to buy back humanity. Well, you know, we ain't worth much. God must be a total idiot. Makes this glorious place and all that. He's going to make a new heaven, a new earth, and have that glorious new Jerusalem come down and sit on it. And he's going to come down and live with all us scumbags. Think about that. That's the thought. He's going to come down and put up with us because what? He's a God of grace and his grace. You don't deserve it. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, my God that redeemed me thought Ed deserved it. I don't know. You believe in whichever God you want. I'll tell you what, I just cannot see grace like I do. I read the Bible and I think, my God, God wanted us. God wanted all humanity. What a grieving it must be for God from his own heart of how many don't accept him and respond to him, yet he paid the price for them. He found them valuable, but they don't find themselves valuable. They might have listened to these grace messages that were preached. Didn't know. In Ephesians, the first chapter, I want to read Ephesians, the first chapter. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. Listen to what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Bless him. What a God. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, that makes me happier. What a Christmas gift. Glory to God. Bless me with every spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. I didn't have to wait for a certain day to get. Just think, this stuff was set in motion before the foundation of the world. Listen, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy without blame before him in love. Glory to God. Just as he chose us. Before the foundation of the world, God saw you. Before the foundation of the world, he saw you accept his son who was sent before the foundation of the world. And he saw you accept him. And he blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heaven before the foundation of the world. He knew he was going to be able to bless you. He knew that. He looked down through this God, looked down through this time. He knew you were going to get saved. He knew you were going to do it. My God. Hallelujah. All this stuff was, the blessing was set in motion before the creation. Before physical creation ever took place, the blessing was already established. This is what I'm going to do for this bunch of people. Hallelujah. This is what I'm going to do. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bless them. I'm going to send Jesus and bless them with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. I'm going to give them every heavenly blessing. Hallelujah. I love it because the statement is made, he has blessed us. In other words, past tense. Quit trying to get blessed and receive it. Quit trying to get blessed. Receive the blessing. I was over in India, and they have this thing over there, and they're preaching. A lot of it goes on in American church too, but they really have this big thing, and they're always asking some minister to pray for them for the blessing. So we were at this one church, and we weren't ministering at that church specifically. We were doing a crusade, and that church was, one of them was involved. But I was over at the church, and one of the elders of the church came up and said, well, he went, pray for me for the blessing on here. And I just, you know, I sort of got to, because it almost, it's like the Hindus do this stuff, you know, and it sort of seemed like to me it was one of these things of, you know, go get the minister and bless me. You know, one of those sort of, and you know, there's nothing wrong with having somebody pray for you to bless you, but You could just tell there was things weren't right about this. So I finally stopped and I asked him about it. He said, well, he said, I want to bless him because he said, my daughter, you know, is getting married. And the guy said, well, is your daughter, she's Christian, right? Oh, yeah. I said, well, is she marrying a Christian guy? Oh, yeah, he's a guy here in the church. He's a faithful Christian. I said, wow, that's great. And I said, so I asked him questions about his life. And I mean, God's been blessing this guy. And I stopped and I said, now let me ask you a question here. I said, I don't quite get this thing. You're asking the blessing. I said, sure sounds like you are blessed. I said, your daughter's getting married shortly. I said, my God, he's married. I said, what more would you want than she marrying a good Christian man, you know, and stuff like that, and he's a good worker and all this kind of stuff. I said, sound like good news to me. And then your life, and I said about the things going on in his life. I said, sounds like you're already blessed. And he looked at me and smiled and he said, yeah, you know, I am really blessed. I said, you don't need to ask for the blessing, you already got it. I said, why don't we just spend a little time here and let's thank God you're so blessed. He said, yeah, let's do that. I tell you, see, revelation came to him. I wish I could get that across to people. And I tell you, he got it. He got it right there. And he said, yeah. He said, I am blessed. All right. Yes, I said, you are. I said, you don't need to be blessed. I said, you are blessed. Hallelujah. So, you know, God blessed. You know what? God didn't decide to bless him just there in his life. God had already established to bless him before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll tell you, God's already decided. When you come to God in prayer and you're trying to look to get, trying to convince God to do something he already did before the foundation of the world, folks. See, we got to get our faith over in the right place. Hallelujah. People are always like they're trying to get God to do what he already did. I'm going to tell you what, we don't even know how many eons ago he decided that one. I don't know what it was. But we know this is for the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. So I know the blessing, Lord God, that he brought to us, and that he planned to bless us with every spiritual blessing. It was established in Christ Jesus at a specific time. But nonetheless, it was settled before the foundation of the world that that was going to take place. Hallelujah. So you and I here, we're some little 2,000 years down the road from Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be trying to look at these things as something that we have to find out if God wants to do that in my future. He already decided to do that from my past. And I was walking around as a heathen sinner, drugging and drunken and everything else and, you know, whoring around and everything, doing all that stuff. And God had already planned to bless Ed with every spiritual blessing in every place in Christ Jesus. Ain't that amazing? Hallelujah. When I got saved, it wasn't like, well, now we can do something for this guy. It was, no, he already planned to do something for this guy. Hallelujah. I just got over and stepped into it. All the time, he had it planned. Stupid me. Run around out there outside of it all that time. Hallelujah. But he already had a plan. It was already running. When I got born again, I didn't have to convince him to be nice to me. He already wanted to do that. Hallelujah. That was settled before Ed ever came on earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. You know, I'll tell you what, we got a settled future. We sit down and look through Scripture. It's one of the things to do is to sit down and look through the Bible. And one of the things that the Holy Ghost wants me to bring across to you this is when we look through Scripture and look at time, and this is what God was dealing with me about this message, is because how meticulous God worked to set in motion all the things that he did to bring Christ into the earth up to that time, to bring Christ in the earth. Because we need to understand, I mean, we sit down and we look at Scriptures, we go back to the book of Genesis and that stuff, and you know, just with when God spoke to Eve in the garden in Genesis, the 3rd chapter and 15, and he said to her, he said, and spoke to him about her seed that was going to come. And it's really interesting because he makes mention of this. He says in verse 15, the 3rd chapter, he said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, he says to Satan, and between your seed and her seed. Now, understand this, her seed, a woman don't have seed, but it said her seed. This woman's going to have offspring. They're going to be, they carry seed. It's going to be male offspring. This male offspring, he's talking about Satan. He said, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. He said he'll bruise your head, and the head meant authority. See, when Satan got a hold of some authority in the earth, but that authority is going to be taken by a seed that's going to come out of a woman. And that seed was Jesus Christ. But you know, understand, from the beginning, when things took place, God immediately began to speak the future of humanity, of what was going to take place in the future concerning Christ. And this is one of the things that you need to understand. When you listen to these ministers and preachers come out here, and you got to be very careful how you listen to some things they say. Sometimes I don't know what exactly how they mean it when they say certain things. But when they talk about, well, you know, that God, you know, has this plan and that stuff at the end, and, you know, Jesus can't come back till the church gets straightened out. That would, you know, when I hear these things, what they're trying to do is tell you that God doesn't know when he's coming back yet. I want to tell you what. God surely knows. If he don't, he isn't God. Let's get it straight. If God, there's no place in the scripture tells us when we get straightened out, because if that's so, then Jesus lied to Kenneth E. Hagin and told him that many of his people ain't going to be ready. Well, I thought everybody's going to get ready, or God's going to change his plan. Well, God ain't changing his plan, and he knows when Jesus Christ is returning. Now, people always just said, well, Jesus said he didn't know that. The Father, Jesus was speaking as a man in the earth. He was not talking as God. This is one of the bad problems we have, because most majority of Christians, even spirit-filled, they think what Jesus did, he did believe he was God. That Jesus walked around knowing everything. Well, if he did, I want you to understand this, he had no business telling us we would do what he did. Because if he walked around knowing everything like God, I don't. So he cannot expect out of me what he said he expected. So Jesus Christ would have been a fraud. When Jesus was in the earth, he was operating as a man. If the Holy Spirit didn't reveal things to him, he didn't know them. They had to be revealed to him just like they do. He had to operate as a man, or he could not have been your representative through death and resurrection. It was an impossible. If he died as God, well, you ain't, so get over it, you're going to hell. So we just pack up today and go home. I mean, what's the point? It's, we need to change our thinking about these things. But God began to set in motion a plan. And this is the security of the future. Because how can we take the Bible and sit down? Well, the promises are true. Well, are they? If God's going to change, if he don't know, then how, can I hold two things? Can I really do it? Our faith is based upon an unchangeable word of God. And God wants you to understand. I think, I'm not quite sure, I could be wrong on it. I'd read one time about the promises that are written concerning Christ, or the things that are written in scriptures through the Old Testament, speaking of Christ, and the Christ and the Messiah and his coming. I think they say, I don't know, it just sort of seemed like there was like almost 800 different places in the Old Testament speak toward the Messiah. About the Messiah. I mean, that's a lot of things. Now, some of those things speak about his coming as a being born in the earth. Some of those things that are spoken of speak even about into the future, about what's going to happen even up till the end of time are spoken about. But it deals with the Messiah and deals with those things. And one of the most incredible things we have is because all these things being said, these things that are being spoken, their accuracy, that we see that when they come to pass. When the Messiah came into the earth, he came in exactly like the scripture said. He became exactly what the scriptures had prophesied thousands of... Now think of this. Before the Messiah came, 4,000 years before, God speaks to Satan and tells Eve, this is what's an offspring that's coming out of you. And that's exactly what happened. 4,000 years ahead. He didn't have to wait for Eve to get straightened out and Adam to get straightened out. God had the plan to straighten it out. God had set in motion the plan. The Bible tells you, you know, that this Christ, he came at the right time or the right season, it says. It was the right season. As most people, well, no, I don't think it was the right season. He should have come another time. Well, he couldn't come before that because men didn't do things exactly like he wanted them, so he held off another 1,000 years. But see, you get this. See, people need to get their head straight. Now, I realize a lot of preachers, the accuracy of the word is the most important thing to your faith. The accuracy of the word. If it can be changed, then you don't have a place to stand. You don't have a place to stand. Now, in Genesis 49, before Jacob died, we have here, he spoke to his son Judah, again speaking about the future. Now, the reason I'm doing these is because we're looking out back in the far past of the accuracy of things that are said, that when the Messiah appeared and was born into the earth, came into the earth, that he fulfilled these things. But in the 49th chapter, verse 8 says, Judah, which is his name, he said, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. You know, Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's who he is. It says, what? He says, for the prey, my son, you've gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who shall rouse him? It says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And to him, Shiloh, shall be the obedience of the people. And that's speaking, the Shiloh is speaking of the Messiah. I mean, you go back in the history and read into Jewish history that the Jews knew that. That spoke about it. One of the things that they understood was speaking. There was going to be a lawgiver that was going to come. There was one who was going to come, this one. In other words, look, think about this. This stuff was spoken. Out of all this stuff came David, the king. The promise concerning David that his descendants would always have somebody to sit on the throne. All these things took place to come past. All because this is stuff. These words were spoken, and the fulfillment of these words concerning Judah and the lawgivers. Who would have ever known that out of the things when Israel turned around and disobeyed God and said, we want a king instead, God said in God's plan before the foundation of the world had already established a thing. He was going to set to be able to bring the Messiah, and he was going to do it through Judah. God didn't stop to sit down and say, well, now they messed up now. What am I going to do? Let's see. Hey, get the angels in here. Get, you know, Michael. And you, hey, guys, what are we going to do about this? What do you think, Jesus? Man? Hey, Holy Ghost, you know, what could we do to straighten all this out? How can we fix this thing? See, we know as sitting down here and looking, we look at these things, the words of God were spoken, and it's just in line with it. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the ruler for David. Is going to sit on, the Bible tells us, that Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David. That's where he's going to sit. He's going to be there. When he comes again and sets up his kingdom on the earth, he's going to rule. And he's going to be the king of Israel, show enough. And he's going to rule over Israel. And it says that all the other nations of the earth, that they got to come up once a year and pay homage once a year. And if they don't, rain ain't going to rain on their lands. They're in trouble. The Bible says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. That's what he's going to do. And so, you know, all these things are set. So we even look to the future. But all of these things were set, spoken way in the past. Yet God knew it before the foundation of the world. But he comes along and he keeps telling man what he's going to do, what he's going to carry out in the earth. I mean, in Psalms, the second chapter, in verse 6 through 8 says, yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask from me of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Speaking of the Messiah. In other words, he spoke of this king that was going to come, and he speaks to the future of that king. I mean, all these things are spoken. Well, that's why when we look at Jesus being born into the earth, if all of these things have come to pass exactly like the Scripture says, then we can know that the future will be exactly like it was said. It will be exactly, I don't care what you do. Tomorrow you can get up in the morning and curse God and shoot yourself. It will not change what the Word of God has said. God's Word is going to come to pass exactly as it was said before the foundation of the world. It's coming to pass. And this is, we need to understand how this plays for us in our security concerning the Word of God. See, we have so much that goes on today, and there's so much questioning, and that's why I said that when you get these people come along today, and they're sitting around here and making these statements, and you know, well, I don't believe this is right in the Word. I don't believe this, you know, this isn't really true. You know, this is said, but it's not really true. When people start doing that, you're destroying your own faith. You can't have confidence in God. You can't believe that the Word of God has changed. If it's changed, you got a problem. Because you have no place to stand on any of it. What has changed and what hasn't? What belongs to us and what don't belong to us? You see, people just keep dividing the Word up. They keep, oh, take this over here for that, this for this. But what it comes down to is this, is people start questioning the validity of the Word. But we can see how meticulous God was. Eileen this morning, in fact, I had those scriptures here, and she read them from Isaiah, speaking about the Messiah coming. And we sit down and we look at the Messiah, and we look at this Messiah that came is exactly according to what the Scripture said. It's a total fulfillment of Him. And we need to understand this. If you get off base, you can know what the Bible says, but if it's not a revelation, you can't believe that there and have questions whether the word is true or not. I don't know if that's true or not. You can't start thinking that way because you will come to the place where the Bible will no longer be a revelation to you. You're just trying to get a revelation. You're just, I'm not sure if it's true or I'm not sure if it's right. And you start getting in that question, you're going to live like the Bible, you know, isn't true. You're going to live, you're going to walk around and say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. You know, there's one thing. Many people say, I believe in Jesus, but they've never received Christ. He don't live in them. See, just having a head knowledge, the fact that Jesus existed because somebody said so, but just because you went to a church a long time and they told you that. It's another thing to have a revelation that Jesus Christ, that revelation. But we have all these things where these wonderful things have been said, and we have the fulfillment of this Messiah. We have the fulfillment that He's come, you know. In Isaiah 11 and 1 says, the 11th chapter and verse 1, in fact, Isaiah prophesied a lot about the Messiah. There's a lot of things that Isaiah said about the Messiah. He said, he made this statement, verse 1, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of the root. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Now see, it's talking about this Messiah, this ruler that's going to come. But you know what it says about him? It says here, when he came down to the earth, and why don't you understand it? He walked like man did it was work to do in the earth. He walked by faith and not by sight. He doesn't judge by the seeing of the eye. He don't do that. You see, this Messiah, meticulous. We look at Jesus. Jesus came down here, lived as a man, walked. I mean, the Bible, through Isaiah, spoke these things. How long before the Messiah showed up? I don't know how many years it was. I used to know how long it was between Isaiah's prophecies and things. But anyhow, this long period of time, and he comes along. And Isaiah speaks in the future because he is going to judge. He's going to come and sit on this earth as the judge, and he is going to rule with a rod, the Bible says. So those things will come. But we need to understand that these things were spoken before, you know, when Isaiah spoke them into the earth, when God told him, it wasn't the first time God knew it. God had already, this was already established before the foundation of the world, of what Jesus was going to be or what he was going to become. And if, when we sit down and we look at these things, we could go on down through and read further down through, and all this talks about, you know, about him. It speaks about the millennial reign. And millennial reign is one thing. Is about the millennial reign. As I read along, if you read the rest of it, I'm not going to read through it today. But it talks about the lion laying down with the lamb. It speaks about it during the millennium. But I want you to understand that it ain't going to be all over the earth. People have this idea that all over the earth in the millennium, everything is going to be all this big peace thing. They ought to read the scriptures. It says it on my holy hill. It don't say in the earth. My holy hill. The holy hill is out in Jerusalem. Do you know the 1,000 years and all that's about the Jew, not the church? The 1,000 years is about the reign of Christ as in David's seat, and Israel's going to fulfill its what the Bible has said so, and Israel's going to be the Jews that are after the tribulation period, those Jews, their Savior, are going to end up into the millennium. And whether people like, if you don't like Jews, man, you'd sure hate the millennium, because the millennium is where the Jews are going to rule. Whether people like it or not, the Jews, that's going to be the nation that's going to rule the earth. So these people don't have a problem with the Jews. Boy, they're going to have problems. And there seems to be, it's going to be that way. Why would it say that, you know, some don't come up? They're going to be no rain on the earth. Well, it seems like some ain't going to obey and come up. I'm going to tell you, in their town, the lion won't be laying down with a lamb. That won't be happening in their town. I will guarantee it. But it will happen, but it's going to happen where the Messiah will be. Now look, the glorified church, we don't have to be concerned with none of that. I'm talking about there's going to be regular people living here in this earth. It's going to be going on here, regular people going around in this earth. And but all the whole thing of it is is if the Messiah became through his birth into the earth, everything that the scriptures prophesied about him coming into the earth through his death, burial, and resurrection, well, when I look to the future, you think that'll be accurate? Do you think it'll be accurate? So in other words, if God has spoken from eons of the past before the earth was ever created, and we can guarantee, now we know this for a fact, that what the Bible says about the Messiah became. See, it's important to know, one of the things that you'll see that God told Israel all the time to remember things about their past. And the reason for that, because if you forget things about the past, and here's one thing as the church has done, you know, we've done the things of God brings revelation in the past, and the church comes along and goes through a period of time, and God teaches them certain things and moves in certain ways, and then God will come along to teach them something else, and they throw everything away that they had over here, they learned here, and go over here, we're doing a new thing. That's why the mess in the church today. The stuff that we were given, the stuff that we were given in the past is what we're supposed to be living in the future and learning new things. You know, you don't go teach a child, you know, I'll tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to teach you adding. Now, tomorrow we're going to teach you subtraction. You throw adding away. You don't need it anymore. That's what the church does. That's what all this seeker friendly is about today. It's to throw everything away that we learned in the past and become unholy people. And write books that you don't have to ask God to forgive you anymore and all that. I'm going to tell you what, they're doing that because they've thrown the past away. And the people who are doing that are going to end up just like the children of Israel did, kept throwing their past away, and they had no future. And these people won't have a future. They don't have a future. You don't throw the past away. You don't throw what you learn out in the past away. Hallelujah, you're going to need that. I learned from Kenneth E. Hagin. Kenneth E. Hagin said this and told us in school. He said, if somebody's lived in this earth, he said, 80-some years, he said, even if they're a heathen, pay attention to them. They probably have learned some things that would be good for you to listen to. I said, man, people today, they don't listen. I don't know how old you are. They don't even care. They have their opinions. And they don't pay no attention to the fathers of the past. I'll tell you what. I have loads of books on the fathers of my past. And I sit down and read because they're smarter than our fathers, so-called fathers of the present, by a long shot. Our fathers of the present, we don't have very many good fathers of the present. There are not many out here. There's a lot, from the idea of Christianity, they think they got a lot of good leaders. God has a totally different opinion because these leaders are based on a world system that the church has accepted. There's a wisdom of the past. Now, I tell you, you can't throw it away. You can't throw that wisdom of the past. I ain't throwing Abraham's wisdom out. I'm sorry, folks. He's called the father of faith. There's one thing about it. I haven't even seen so-called great faith people today even walk close to what he did. And they call them great faith people. They ain't great faith people. Abraham got blessed and got rich and didn't send any letters out. Now, I ain't saying you can't send letters out, but I'm going to tell you what. I'd like to see one of them if God there. Hey, do it like Abraham did. Let's see if what you can do. I'm going to find out. Well, hey, folks, he got blessed and look what happened. Now, I'm not against sending letters out. I mean, you need to understand. I'm going to tell you, these people talk about faith. Well, I'll tell you, you send enough letters, you're going to get some money back. You cry enough. You cry enough. There's people out here just get tired of hearing you crying. I don't. You can send me 1,000 letters. I just buy a bigger garbage can. Don't matter to me. I love stuff. I get out and read. I just throw it away. They've trained me well. I got time to read these stories about all the stuff that they're doing they shouldn't be doing anyhow. You know, God shouldn't move us by need. He should move us by the Holy Ghost to tell us what to do. Just because, you know, they got 47. And you know what? Every time you send them money, they turn around and find another project they'll start. And then they're crying again to fill that project. And half these projects, they were never even called to do them. I'll tell you why they do it. Because people are not led by the Spirit to give, so they have to keep new things in the face of people to get them to give. I ain't like that. I can hear God. I'm sad, though, most people can't. they will need somebody to come along and give them a project. You know, we got to go out here and have a walk for life. We can't reach in our pocket and pull out the money and say, you don't have to walk today. Go pray and we'll just put money in the thing. No, we got to go out and go through events. Just like the world does. Say, we don't have enough time. We're so busy and we do stuff like that. Spend a whole afternoon that I don't have time to seek God. Yes, you do. Quit going to them events. If somebody wants a donation, if it's a good thing, give them the money. But I ain't going to go do no walking. Forget it. I got better things to do with my time, and I don't have to be driven by the world system to give. Quit asking me to buy things I don't need. If you need a donation for something good, I'll give you the money. I don't want to buy your stuff. Dear God, I don't want that cross and got a piece of the stone from, you know, the from Jesus' tomb. My God, if they did that, there ain't no tomb left. They already done sold 5 million of them things with stones in them. My God, there ain't no more tomb there. It's good preaching, folks. I mean, all the nonsense. Oh, they sell all their little trinkets and things, man. And it ain't nothing. We got to get the whip back in the temple again. I'm serious. They don't need prayed for; they need whipped. And I mean it. These people need whipped because, man, they have nothing but turned God's house into a den of thieves. And we need to know this. It's all this bit about getting money for stuff. Hey, I am for, you know, man, stuff, but I am not in this bit of the way they raise money. I'm going to tell you what, take a little time to hear the Holy Ghost. It's amazing how He'll deal with you and how He can get in your wallet. But if He has a hard time getting your wallet, then people will come along and come up with all kinds of systems and ways that will meet your flesh's condition so you can give by the flesh and call it faith. I'm giving, it's faith, not necessarily. If it was motivated by your flesh to do what you did and it was done by it, there wasn't no faith in it. Don't you say, I'm giving by faith. No, you never gave faith in that. It was motivated by a physical thing. Hallelujah. We'd have plenty of time to do a lot of stuff. We'd quit all this nonsense in the church. All these gimmicks and things they got. My God, they turn on a Christian television and my God, they got as many commercials of selling junk as anybody in the world. And I'll tell you what, all these new books and all this. Dear Lord, who has the time to read these 5,000 new books? I ain't got the time to do it. And it's like you got new information or something. Ain't no, how much can you write about a subject to healing? Dear Lord, I read the Bible mostly on it. I don't have many books even on healing. Because I done read it in the scriptures. I just believe it. I don't really have a bunch of books on them. If you have a bunch of books in it, man, I could write the books. But I sit around looking, pumping all this stuff out, and it's all out there, and we got it. It's covering our shelves dusty with all kinds of things of information we don't even read half the time or even look at half the time. It's filled with this stuff, and we're all there and there, and it makes us religious now. Now we're spiritual, folks. Show enough. But I'm so busy, I don't have time for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, this is Christmas. Like Randall Greer said, I got up real nice this morning. But you know, the power of God. But I was just saying, you know, if you miss it, it's just like that. We have a wonderful time of season. And I remember as Christmas, as kids growing up. Now, we didn't have a lot of stuff. We didn't have much. I mean, you know that. But the whole thing was, we loved the time of year and it was fun. And people ain't having no fun out here. Christians don't have no fun anymore. It shows we're backslidden. I just want to tell you. We got so busy we can't enjoy what used to be a pleasure, which used to be a lot of fun. And I remember the dolls. It used to be a big thing of people getting together and the family's coming. I mean, my mom, you know, the whole thing is a family coming together. You know, you had a big family, so you come in, you know, it's a bunch of kids and grandkids and all that kind of stuff, loads of, but coming in, and everybody, it was a great time. You look for it with all, today, it's like, oh man, we got all this stuff to do. All the, and everybody, I tell you what, I get fed up of hearing people tell me how busy they are. I'm just fed up with it. Because it's nothing but depressing. You see, I can't do what I got to do and I can't enjoy. If I'm too busy, this means I am not enjoying myself. It's an impossibility for you to be too busy and you're enjoying yourself. You're not. You can't do that. It's like trying to do too much work. I mean, you can't enjoy yourself. You can never enjoy yourself at a job if it's always ringing you. You know, I got to get this. If that's going on, I mean, you have no fun. God wants you to have fun in life. God wants you to enjoy yourself. Hallelujah. I mean, my God, I look back to the past. I mean, our nation was a lot more stable. Hallelujah. Things were, in a sense, much, much better than what they are today. And we talk about prosperity. My God. Prosperity, I mean, you watch things in ministries and all that stuff. I mean, they can't even send you out a Christmas card without having a thing in it asking you for money. When you've been done supporting them all year, and they still send, they can't send nothing to you without their handout. Every time I get them on, they make me mad. They don't even care enough for people. That's what's wrong. All they think, they see us as dollar signs. I ain't somebody's dollar sign. That ain't a partnership. That's demonic. They don't love people enough. You know, what would you guys think if I sent you a Christmas card and I put in asking for money? Dear God. But you accept it from these other jerks. What do we become? Man, it makes me long for a different time. The simplicity. We just had fun. We loved the Christmas season. It was just a great time. It was a lot of time of fellowship together. You know, today, people ain't doing it. People are just, I got this to do, and I got that to do, and I got this, and I got this to do, and that to do. And, you know, it's just, I realize things are busy, but, you know, I like to, you know, concerning this dinner we're going to have here, let's just, concerning the dinner. We could have just hired somebody and brought him in and done something and done a... From what I look at menus and things and stuff, I just, you know, a canned ham and stuff or whatever else just did not turn me on. You know, that just, you have people come in. And I realized it took a lot of time. And man, my daughter Alyssa has been an enormous... Boy, she's been an enormous help. You talk about somebody's busy... But, you know, she really enjoys doing it. She does it, you know, and this is one of the fun things about it. But, you know, it took a lot more time than I would, you know, normally have to do stuff and you do it. But to me, it's giving something to you guys. You know, when we're doing things and we're doing things for other people and it's a stress and it's busy, you got something wrong with your attitude. And we need to get something changed. It's about, you know, to me, it was like, I'm just glad to do this. I'm just glad to take this up because it's family, folks. It's to do these things. This is family. And we need to come back to this again because I look back and think, my words, you know, all that was involved, dear Lord. My mama was a giver, dear God. But you know what? She loved it. She loved the fact that she was giving in. Her family was coming and she was giving in. It wasn't a burden to her. I never remember my mama talking about with a holiday thing coming and all the family. And I'm going to tell you, your family coming. I mean, my words, we had 9 kids in our family. I mean, my one sister, she had, 11, 12 kids or something. I don't know. They had so many of them running around. And then all this stuff. And you have grandchildren. You have all this stuff. And you have all these people coming to the house and that stuff. And my mom, you know, it was her family was coming. The family. And it was like, this was a joy in giving. Now see, we've lost something in the church world and we need to come back to this thing again where these things we look at this stuff and say, man, what is important to do? There's lots of other things that ain't important to do that this is important to do. It's about the America, you know, even from the family structure is broken down. It's terrible. But the reason it has is because there's no family in the church anymore even. There's not the families left the church. It's me as man, the giving part of it. I look at Christmas time and I just look at this time of year and I think, my God, the fact that what complaint did I have about anything? Jesus Christ was God sitting around in heaven. Dear Lord. Come down here and put an earth suit on? What right do I have to gripe about anything? He came down here had lived for about 36 years in this place, I wouldn't have came down for 15 minutes. But I'll tell you, when I'm sitting on this side, I have no right to complain. He took his time to come down. I'm sure there was a lot of business that could have been taken care of. But he did. But you know what? It was for what was important. God's whole establishment was a family, and that's what he has. We need to know, we're going to heaven. It isn't this me thing. It's about a family. I just don't believe the people that don't like to be around the family now, they ain't gonna, why would you want to go to heaven? You have to be put around with all these people. Dear Lord. We need to get ourselves around this stuff and get over where we come back again. And I'll tell you what, I want you guys to enjoy this holiday. Put the brakes. Don't get the thoughts and don't let this, you know, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. It has enough junk in itself. Let it over there. Let it over there at that place. And say, right now, here today, we're doing what's important. We're going to do right here today what's important. What is there to do today? We're going to do that right now. See, I think we've lost some of that, and we need to come back to that. The Word of God's true. God has established what He said, and I'm going to tell you what. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. His Word will come to pass. God is going to bless me tomorrow. I'm just telling you, God is going to bless me tomorrow. There's no doubt about it. He's established it in His Word. If all that he did through sending Jesus and he could fulfill it all, he could. Now, just think of it. He fulfilled all he did bringing the Messiah into the earth, and there wasn't one born again person to help him. Gee, you think he could carry out to the end what's going on? He didn't have one born again person. And yet, to perfection. He brought to pass all the words he wrote in the book. To perfection. I want to tell you, you can trust this God for your future. And that's what he wants you to know today. Your tomorrows, you don't have to worry. He has established a plan. He has established for your tomorrows and the blessing of your tomorrow. And you don't have to worry. His word will come true. You stand on his word, and his word will bring to pass for you what he said it would bring to pass. Just as with the Messiah. When the Messiah came, he didn't turn off the rest of the prophecies. No, from the foundation of the world, he declared things, and it's going to come to pass just like he said. The promises that go to the righteous, those promises will stand. I don't care how everything else turns out. It doesn't matter. So many are worried. Well, what's going to happen with the nation? What's going on? I don't have to worry. God has established a plan. If I walk day by day in that plan, and I'll believe what those scriptures say, and I'll look to my future, and I'll say, look, the things that he said about my future, they will come to pass. It has to. Just like all the things that came to pass before, all that took place, all that he did for Abraham, it all came to pass. Every bit of it happened. And I'll tell you, it's going to happen for you. I'll tell you, let's enjoy this season. I want you to look at the new year. You need to be excited. You need to be excited because the Word of God is true. God will sustain you in your future. He will sustain you in what's coming ahead. I will tell you, everything that's coming ahead ain't going to be good. There's things that happen and ain't going to be good. But I want to tell you, God has a plan. And what He has established in His Word concerning His people of what He would do, He will do it, even though bad comes. He's established it and foreordained it from the foundation of the world. If he saw you before the foundation of the world and he saw you saved, hallelujah. Did it come to pass? You're sitting here today, born again, hallelujah. You're sitting in this place by a foreordained word of God from eons in the past. Did he bring it to pass for you? Yes. What about your tomorrow? Will he bring it to pass? Oh, hallelujah. He'll bring it to pass for you. That's his plan. He set it out. And see, we need to come to this place of faith. His word is so exact. His word is so true that he will fulfill any of it. Many times I've taken my Bible and I've stood before God in prayer and I've taken it and I take a scripture and say, Lord, you said this in your word and you're going to have to do that because you said it. You can't tell me we're not going to do that. You can't tell me I don't qualify. I'm sorry. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. God, I'll guarantee, I know this without a doubt. You're going to bring this to pass for me. I've done this many times. You're going to do this for Ed because your word changes not. Hallelujah. You're going to carry this out for me. Some people, they sit around and pray, oh God, would you do this? Would you do this? I've taken his word. Your word can't change. That was established before the foundation of the world. That means you lied in the past. You couldn't have done that. You didn't lie in the past and you'll never lie to the future either. Glory to God. And what you said you do, you will carry it out for me. You'll do it for me. Many times I've taken scriptures. Lord, your word says this. And you're going to carry that out. You said that? There's no way to back out of it. Hallelujah. You said it. And here I am. Glory to God. And faith pleases you. You're happy today because I'm believing you're going to do this thing. Hallelujah. You're well pleased. See, we need to stand by our future, what His Word says. We're coming into this year, and I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be more questioning about the Word this year by many. Don't let it be you. I'm going to turn them voices off. I won't even listen to those voices. I'm not even going to, I'll tell you what, if you don't, they don't want to talk, you can say anything. You could say anything about me you wanted to. But you can't speak about the Word and me listen to you. You can't speak against the Word of God. You can't do that. You can't change it. I'm not going to listen to it. No checks. I'm not going to listen to it. You want to talk the truth. Why? Because I know this. The truth is what makes men free. The freedom of our time is believing the God who's from the past spoke the destiny of man out through to the eons of the future, to the new heaven and the new earth that will stand forever. And every bit of it is going to take place because all up to this time has happened just like he said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet.